Numbers chapter 20. The children of Israel came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed in Kadesh. Miriam died there and was buried there. There was no water for the congregation. They assembled themselves together against Moses and Aaron. The people strove with Moses, saying, "We wish we had died when our brothers died before Yahweh. Why have you brought the assembly of Yahweh into this wilderness that we should die here, we and our animals? Why did you make us to come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is no place of seed, figs, vines, pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. So when we are baptized, it's like we go through the Red Sea. It's like we came out of Egypt, and now we are on our wilderness journey. So there will be times when we are tempted to go back to Egypt, to the world, and to imagine that the world is actually a far better place than it is." And the simple problem with them was that they didn't have the faith to believe that God is love. They thought, no, you've got some evil plan, some conspiracy theory they had. You just want to bring us out here to kill us. You deceived us. Well, no, God had offered them the promised land, and they had chosen not to enter it. They said it was too difficult, and they wanted to go back to Egypt. And so they were told, you must wander in the wilderness. So this is typical of how people have the consequences of their sin, but then they get cranky and complain about it.
Do you know how I get cranky and complain? Because I get because I'm not hungry till they get very hungry till they get food.
Well, that's right. They weren't really hungry because God always provided for them with the manna. But the problem is that they wanted vines, pomegranates, figs, everything else. But in fairness, they were lacking water. So Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tent of meeting and fell on their faces. And the glory of Yahweh appeared to them, and Yahweh spoke, saying, "Take the rod and assemble the congregation, you and Aaron your brother, and speak to the rock before their eyes that it give forth its water." Now before, they had hit the rock and water had come out, but now they're told to speak to it. "And you shall bring forth to them water out of the rock, so you shall give the congregation and their animals drink." Moses took the rod from before Yahweh as he commanded him. So God says, take the rod and speak to the rock, not take the rod and hit the rock. Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels, shall we bring water out of this rock for you?" Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock with his rod twice. He doesn't speak to it. Water came forth abundantly, and the congregation drank and their livestock. Yahweh said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you didn't believe in me to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. These are the waters of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with Yahweh and he was sanctified in them." Well, that might appear a rather strict and heavy judgment, bearing in mind God's own opinion of Moses, that the man Moses was very meek. He was the humblest man on all the earth, we're told, which is amazing. So how he behaves here is not really characteristic. This isn't really how he was. He got cranky, not surprisingly, when the people were being really awful to him, and it wore him down, and he just loses it. And yet he's judged for that, and he's not allowed to lead the people into the land. Well, all we can say is that sin is sin, and I think there are a few examples like this in the Bible of where somebody sins and they are apparently heavily punished. For example, you've got Ananias and Sapphira. They exaggerated how much money they'd got for the property they sold and gave to the Lord, and they were zapped immediately, dead. Another example would be when David brings the ark to Zion and he puts the ark on a new cart instead of having it carried by the Kohathites. And Uzzah puts out his hand to steady the ark as it's just about to fall off. And zap, he is killed. You could say, well, the guy was trying to do his bit for keeping the Ark of God from falling onto the ground. And David, anyway, was the one responsible. Surely he shouldn't have put the Ark on a cart and all that. These things happen, I think, every now and again in the Bible narrative to show us that really one sin brings death. That's what it is. One sin brings death, and that's what we deserve. So there's a lot of talk today about our rights, and unfortunately people have a great sense of entitlement that I am entitled to. The fact is, the wages of sin is death, and we deserve only one thing, and that is death. So we, nor any other human being, has any entitlement to life. It is a gift of God by God's utter grace that we're left alive. And so I think every now and again in the record of the Bible, you get these examples of where God judges apparently very strictly. Someone gets zapped and they die. Or like in this case, Moses just loses his temper and speaks, as we're told later in the psalm, inadvisedly with his lips, and that's it. You can't take Israel into Canaan. So I think the general message of the Bible is that God is extremely patient, extremely gracious, puts up with all sorts of bad behavior, especially from his people Israel. But there is also this other side that just reminds us that, in fact, sin is sin, and just reminds us that God is being really patient because every sin deserves death. Let's also remember that having a tantrum and doing poor behavior during that tantrum is still accountable to God, because you could say, oh, well, Moses was sort of on a bit of a tantrum here, and all right, it was just for a moment. That, no, because of that, he could not take the people into the land. And Aaron also is judged in the same way. He also can't enter the land because of this. So then Moses says to them, shall we bring forth water out of the rock for you rebels? Well, he says, hear now, you rebels. And yet, later on, we're told that it was Moses who had rebelled against the word of the Lord. So actually, he's no better than them. He says, you're rebels. And God says, and Moses, you've rebelled against my word. So I think the point is that Moses, in this point, was not better than the people. And God hates that when somebody makes themselves out to be more righteous than other people. You're rebels against God. And bang, you're a rebel against God. So let's learn from that. And yet in the bigger picture, God used this incident to fulfill something that Moses had said before. It was when he was up in Sinai talking with God, and he said, please let them come into the land. And God had said, no, they're not to come into the land. And Moses says, oh no, please let them come into the land. And then Moses says, please forgive their sin, and if not, blot me out of the book which you have written. It's as if he's saying, look, okay, let them go in rather than me. Well, God doesn't quite work on that basis, that somebody can sort of substitute for somebody else in terms of salvation. But in a strange way, he did hear him. And the record says, and Moses was heard. Well, you can see how in the bigger picture it sort of worked out that he didn't enter the land, but they did. So it's wonderful how, although he sinned, God did work through it, and he worked through it in another way, in that Moses, representing the law of Moses, gave people a vision of the kingdom of God, of the land of Canaan. He could see the land, but he couldn't enter it. And so by obedience to the law of Moses, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. But you can get a picture of it, like Moses could see it, but he couldn't enter it. So even though we shouldn't sin, of course, yet God works through human failure. He doesn't just turn away in disgust. Moses sent messengers from Kadesh to the king of Edom, saying, thus says your brother Israel. Now, Edom is Esau. So then this is like the people from descended from Esau, Jacob's brother. So thus says your brother Israel, you know all the travail that has happened to us, how our fathers went into Egypt. We lived in Egypt a long time. The Egyptians dealt badly with us and our fathers. And when we cried to Yahweh, he heard our voice and sent an angel and brought us forth out of Egypt. And behold, we're in Kadesh, a city in the extremity of your border. Please let us pass through your land. We will not pass through field or vineyard. We won't drink water of your wells. We'll go along the king's highway. We won't turn aside to the right nor to the left. Edom said to him, You shall not pass through me, lest I come out with the sword against you. The children of Israel said to him, We will go up by the highway, and if we drink of your water, I and my livestock, then will I give its price. Let me only, without doing anything else, pass through on my feet. He said, You shall not pass through. Edom came out against him with many people and with a strong hand. Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his border, so Israel turned away from him. Well, there are times when, on our wilderness journey, which, as I've said, represents their wilderness journey, represents our journey to the kingdom, there are times when you do have conflict, including with your relatives, with your brother, as you see at this time. Edom is being unreasonable. This just really meant clipping the corner of their border, not for a very long way, and they weren't even there. They had to send a message to the king of Edom, who wasn't anywhere near his border, just politely asking, could we pass through? And he's quite unreasonable. So what do they do? Israel turned away from him. Turn away from conflict with your brother. Just turn away from it. I think that's the example here. There's nothing to be gained by fighting with your brother. They traveled from Kadesh, and they came to Mount Hor. Yahweh spoke to Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor by the border of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered to his people, for he shall not enter into the land which I have given to the children of Israel, because he rebelled against my word at the waters of Meribah. Now, if I were God, I would have judged Aaron a lot tougher for making the golden calf, which is pretty awful. I mean, Moses was up in the mountain, and Israel said, oh, we want to have gods to take us back to Egypt. And Aaron says, oh, okay, so give me your jewelry, and he makes a golden calf. Aaron made that. And then when Moses comes down from the mountain and says, what on earth are you doing? He said, well, they gave me their jewelry and I threw it into this fire and out popped a golden calf. So Aaron wasn't even repentant and he lied. So I'd have judged him pretty hard over that.
You know how you make a golden calf? They melted all of a gold and then They didn't just jump out.
That's right. They put their gold into the fire, melted the gold, and then they worked it, it says, with a tool to turn it into a calf. That's right. So it was a lie. And God said that Aaron had to die, but then Moses goes and prays to God and says, oh, please don't kill Aaron. And God says, okay, I've forgiven according to your word. So actually Aaron was totally forgiven, and the message you get from that is that when God forgives, although the record of it is still here in the Bible, God totally forgives, and it's totally scribbled. And so the reason Aaron didn't go into the land was not because of the golden calf, which, as I say, I would have been minded to judge him pretty hard on that, but because he, along with Moses, sort of supported Moses in Moses losing his temper with the people. You might think is a lesser matter, but no, it just shows again that God judges sin. So take Aaron and Eleazar his son, bring them up to Mount Hor, strip Aaron of his garments and put them on Eleazar his son, and Aaron shall die there. Moses did as Yahweh commanded, and they went up into Mount Hor in the sight of all the congregation. Moses stripped Aaron of his garments and put them on Eleazar his son, and Aaron died there on the top of the mountain. And Moses and Eleazar came down from the mountain. When all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, they wept for Aaron 30 days, even all the house of Israel.